Hello everyone. Join me, a small medium at large, as we explore the world of spirit, energy, tarot, mediumship, psychic abilities, angels, oracles, paranormal activity, and basically anything downright spooky. If any, some, or all of those things interest you, then you've come to the right place, my friends. I'm Melanie Mahmood, and welcome to the Spirit Level Podcast. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Spirit Level Podcast. Well, into it all, my friends, and I'm not going to hang about today because in the podcast studio, which is essentially a glass box stuck on the top of our house, which is freezing cold in winter and a method of torture in the summer, I am literally melting. For our friends far and away around the globe, it's absolutely true that we Brits like nothing more than moaning about the weather. It's always either too wet, windy, cold and miserable, but then when we do get the 2 weeks of good weather, it's too much. I think it's because in the UK, we're just not geared up for heat. We don't have air conditioning as standard and it's usually raining, so that's why we don't bother. So wherever you are, hope you're looking after yourselves and keeping safe, not going mad with a lack of sleep or sunstroke. Anyway, in this week's episode, carnelian is the featured crystal in Crystal Corner. There will be some more of your listeners' questions. And in addition, we've got a special feature. There'll be a three-card tarot reading that's come from a question sent in by one of our lovely listeners. In Mr. M's Menagerie, the Bermuda Triangle is on our radar, and in Household, Hocus Pocus, nettles are on the menu. And in Time for Tarot, the Knights are our featured cards. So, here we go. Welcome to this week's Crystal Corner. The stone this week's a really interesting one because of its links to the ancient world, and that is carnelian. Carnelian's name is derived from the Latin word carnis, meaning flesh. Now you'd think from that it would all be about carnal issues, flesh issues, but no, it's not. It's about actually leaving the body and the soul's continuing journey after physical death. The ancient Egyptians believed passionately that carnelian protected the soul after physical death and on its journey into the afterlife. Linked to this is carnelian's support in accepting the circles and cycles of life, removing fear of death and making positive life choices. It's a very high vibrational stone, but it feels balanced. It's not overwhelming. Emotionally, it calms. So anger, envy and jealousy can all be assuaged by this crystal and any negativity removed. So much so, carnelian can clear and cleanse other crystals. I personally prefer selenite for this purpose, but if you're stuck, carnelian can do the job. Also known as a business stone for attracting business success and abundance. As it's a base chakra-linked crystal, it's good for any and all disorders related to organs down below, so reproductive, kidneys, etc., but also blood-related issues. But for me, it's the death doula stone. We don't do death very well in this country. We don't like talking about it. We don't accept that it very well, that it's part of life. It's always packaged to us as something that needs to be fought against, even if this means much suffering and much pain. This needs to change, I think. I don't know how, but it does, and carnelian will support this notion. Have a look on the online store at Crystal Corner if you would like to have a look and see what carnelian looks like, or if you would like to add it to your collection, we'll help you with that. And also, we'll put a little video up on the Facebook group so you can have a see what carnelian looks like. And now it's time for listeners' questions. What we got this week, Mr. M?
Thank you, Mel, and hello again, everyone. We have two listener questions this week, Mel.
Okay.
The first is from Janice in Walsall, who asks, You have mentioned auras in previous episodes. Is your aura a fixed colour, or does it change according to your mood or if you are suffering from some illness?
Good question. Yes, it does change. It changes as much as your mood changes, and as you rightly say, it also changes with your physical health. So, yes, and it's not just always one solid colour either. It can be a blend of colours, and it's up to the psychic or the medium who is working with that person to be able to differentiate which colours are involved. So you can often see one colour, say for example blue, and then there'll be flashes or sparks of orange or yellow in there, and that will give you an idea of what's happening with that person at that time. It would take me an entire episode to explain what all the colours are and what they mean, but again, there's also an essentially a part where it's your intuition that tells you. It's what green means to you. It's what green means to that person. So it can be mutable, which means changeable. So, yeah, changes.
Good. Thank you, Mel. Our second question this week comes from Beverly in Glasgow, who asks, what is a spirit box and how do you use one?
Oh, good question again. And I have one. In fact, I have mine here with me. So I will explain what it is. Basically, it's a piece of equipment that's used in ghost investigations quite a lot. And it's basically a mini AM/FM frequency sweep radio. So it's a radio receiver, but instead of staying put on one frequency like your ordinary radio would, it will sweep between the different frequencies. And it creates kind of like a white noise. But what spirit can do is they can use that noise, that white noise, to pick up snatches and snippets of conversations from things that are being broadcast and produce a message. So my spirit box is a PSB7. It's only a tiny little thing. I'll power it up and see if you can actually pick up with how it sounds. So that's it sweeping through, and it may. When you're in an environment where there is, I'll just turn it off again because it's quite distracting. When you're in an environment where there is a spirit, then they can use that information and say things to you. We used one with the Charlie Peace investigation. That was fascinating because the amount of swear words that came out of that box was absolutely ridiculous. And I don't know if you know anything about British broadcasting, but you're not allowed to swear on British broadcasting frequencies. So where they were getting those swear words from, who knows, or where Charlie was. But if you're interested in any kind of equipment like that, we have our affiliate shop, which are a local business to us. It is www.thespiritshack.co.uk. They'll have spirit boxes on there. They're a great bit of kit, especially if you're going out and about and it's very interesting. You can get some quite interesting results.
Lovely, Mel. Thank you. And thanks for your question. And as Mel said, should you wish to know more about spirit boxes, then please visit our friends at the Spirit Shack. And you can do that by clicking on the affiliate link at the bottom of the episode notes. Now, as mentioned in the opening, I know you're really excited for this.
I am excited about this one because I don't know what's going to happen and I don't know how it's going to go. I hope it goes well.
Yes.
Sure it will.
A big thank you to everybody who replied to Mel's Facebook post about trying something a little bit different in the listener question section. So, one of our listeners, Zira, has been in contact with us and has very kindly agreed to let Mel use her question to do a 3-card tarot reading in relation to what she is asking. So, Mel, Zira's question is, am I doing all that I can in my current endeavours to cultivate and manifest the life change that I feel is really needed? Is there any more I can be doing to manifest this? So it's over to you, Mel.
Hi, Zira, and thank you again for being our inaugural reading. So I can't wait to hear some feedback from you. So obviously the cards have been listening to what your question was. So I'm going to give them a shuffle and think about what your question is whilst I do that. I am using the Gilded Tarot by Cairo Marchetti, which is my favoured pack. So, and things are coming out already. So, Zira, is Zira doing everything that she needs to do to manifest? and cultivate the life change that she needs. Is there any more that she can be doing to manifest this? Okay, so we have got three cards that have jumped out. So we'll be doing past, present and future. The past card that's come out is the Queen of Swords. Now, the Queen of Swords has to be quite analytical, and I feel that that's what you've had to be in this situation, Zira. You've had to be quite cold and calculating in how you've set about on the path and doing the actions that you know are required. Swords are all about truth, they're all about communication, they're also about cutting away those things, whether it be people, situations, that don't serve you anymore. And that is what the cards are saying to me at the moment. You've had to do that. And it's been quite painful sometimes, I feel. But it's been necessary and you're aware of that. So you, that bit, the kind of hardest bit, the hard work is done. What we're wanting at the moment, and the present card we've got, is the Ten of Cups. So what we are seeking and what we're wanting is stability. A little bit of peace at the minute, because I'm feeling that we've been through quite some choppy waters and it's taken quite a bit out of your energy wise. So at the minute, everything's okay. I'm feeling a balance and I'm feeling an equilibrium, and I'm just gathering my strength in order to move forward. That's what Spirit's telling me. That's what the cards are telling me. So if you're feeling that things are a little bit quiet at the moment and that things aren't moving that the, you know, as quickly as you'd like, don't worry. There is a reason behind this little lull and this little peaceful bit, as I'm being, quiet bit, as I'm being told. It's to gather your strength, to gather your energies for the next steps forward. Now, the future card is the King of Cups. Now, the King is the top of the tree. So I'm also getting that the planets are aligning, and it's a case of being a little bit patient and waiting for the right circumstances, the right synchronicities. That's kind of what I'm getting. And you're a little bit impatient for this, and I know I'm the worst for it. But there is a lot of love there, and there's a lot of support from the universe, and you are being held up, and Spirit is with you. So don't worry, you are on the right track. You just got to be a little bit patient, and that is the message for you. The manifestation is coming. It's, the universe is working with you. The love and the protection is there. Just a little bit more patience and waiting for the synchronicities to line up. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. And please give me your feedback, Zira. I'd love to hear it.
Super stuff. And thank you very much, Mel. And a massive thank you to Janice, Beverly and Zira for getting in touch with us. If you would like to send Mel a question or have your question feature as a three-card tarot reading, or want to get in touch with us for any other matter, whether it be suggestions for show content, guests or just to get in touch, then here is how to do so.
Thank you to everyone who submitted a question. There are a number of ways you can get in touch with us. You can get in touch with us via email, and the address is thespiritlevel22@gmail.com. On Facebook, on the groups, search for The Spirit Level. On Twitter, search for thespiritlevel.co.uk. We have a Twitter handle, which is @thespiritlevelu, which is a capital U. On Instagram, search for me, Melanie Mahmood, or thespiritlevel.co.uk. Or you can click on the SpeakPipe link in the episode notes and send us a voicemail free of charge. In addition, there are a number of resources for you to download and access on our website, totally free of charge, at www.thespiritlevel.co.uk. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome to Mr. M's Menagerie. Hello everyone, and thank you for joining me this week, where I'll be taking a look at the mystery of the Bermuda Triangle. Not the 1981 hit song by Barry Manilow, although it is a mystery as how that song charted so high. Now, before any of you Fanilows who might be out there listening to this, and that is actually a popular name for devoted fans of his, contact me and have a go at the great songwriter, singer and performer, let me say I'm only joking. However, you devoted fans of his could have picked a more suitable name. Fanilows sounds like some sort of hygiene product. I don't know why, but that's just, the answer just tickled me. But we digress. Let's move on, otherwise I will have to check the explicit content box on the episode notes. So, the Bermuda Triangle. Where and what is it? Well, common acceptance by those who have researched, studied and written about it have it as an area bounded by three points. Miami on the southeastern coast of the United States, the island of Bermuda, some 643 miles east-southeast of North Carolina, and the island of Puerto Rico, some 1,000 miles southeast of Miami. If you connect all three points, you get a triangle, with the apex being located at Miami. And the area contained within this triangle is approximately 500,000 square kilometres, or 193,000 square miles. It is vast. Now, over the years, numerous planes and ships are reported to have disappeared within this triangle, and there are a number of theories as to what could have caused these. Needless to say, some of the theories are a little bit out there, and we will look at a few of the more commonly held theories shortly. So, where did the Bermuda Triangle get its name? Well, from what I've been able to come up with, the first mention of the name comes in an article written in 1964 by a man named Vincent Gaddis, who was actually writing about the disappearance of five US Navy planes on the 5th of December 1945. Now, this disappearance, commonly referred to as the disappearance of Flight 19, more than any other event, caused the legend and notoriety of the Bermuda Triangle to flourish. Flight 19 was a training mission involving five TBM Avenger bombers that departed Naval Air Station Fort Lauderdale during the early afternoon of the 5th of December 1945. The mission was a routine training mission incorporating navigation exercises and bombing runs. And the mission commander, Lieutenant Charles Taylor, an experienced pilot with over 2,000 flying hours, set the parameters of the mission, which was a three-leg triangle route. With the first bombing run successfully completed, the flight turned onto their second leg of the mission. Now, it's here that the story takes a strange twist. Taylor, from communications with radar controllers, became increasingly agitated and reports malfunction of his compass. He decides to press on, and it appears he mistook some islands near Bermuda as his second leg reckoning point and commenced a further turn. And it's this turn that appears to have been a fundamental error, as he was flying in completely the wrong direction in respect of the mission parameters. With fuel running out and the weather turning worse, Taylor and the rest of the flight headed further into the North Atlantic. Now, eventually, both radar contact and radio communication was lost, and it is believed that all five planes in the mission were forced to ditch into the ocean. As a further twist to this story, a PBM Mariner aircraft sent to search for survivors of Flight 19 and/or wreckage was itself lost, with the loss of all crew. No trace of Flight 19 or the Mariner have ever been found. Now, subsequently, the US Navy investigation boards were held to look at the causes of the disappearance of Flight 19 and the rescue aircraft. Cause unknown is the official listed reason, and to this day, no one knows the reason for the disappearance of these aircraft, but there has been plenty of speculation. So let's briefly take a look at some of the theories about the Bermuda Triangle, and see if any or some could possibly explain the disappearance of Flight 19 and other disappearances. Taylor mentioned in his radio communication a compass malfunction, and numerous sailors and aviators in the past, whilst travelling over and in the triangle, have mentioned strange compass readings and unreliable compass readings. What explanation can we give for this? Well, it is possible that these anomalies in compass behaviour could be attributed to the alignment of true north and magnetic north. Compasses are aligned to magnetic north, but there are some places in the world where both north are the same. One such area is the Gulf of Mexico, extending eastwards into the western part of the North Atlantic, precisely where the Bermuda Triangle is located. This can and will cause compasses anomalies and play havoc with navigation, even to experienced aviators and sailors. So our first explanation is that of human error, misreading and interpretation of compass information, leading to navigational mistakes. Now, the ocean depth in the Bermuda Triangle is some of the deepest in the world. Vast trenches sit underneath the ocean surface, and should a ship or aircraft get into difficulty and crash and or capsize, it is highly likely that any rescue operation searching in the position of the last known location of the ship or plane would not be able to find any wreckage, as it would have sunk to the ocean depths, well out of the scope of our technological reach. Now, how about this as a theory? Presence of methane calcrates or hydrates. These are methane gas deposits trapped in a structure of crystallised water. These deposits are found all over the world and at varying depths. However, when released, these deposits can cause fierce and violent eruptions. The methane gas, once released, travels from the depths, breaking the surface of the ocean. Once at the surface, the gas would turn the surrounding sea into froth, and any ship caught in the vicinity would have no escape, as the gas changes the density of the water around it, massively decreasing the water's buoyancy, and any ship, no matter what its size, would capsize in about 10 to 15 seconds, leaving no wreckage and little or no time for the crew to abandon ship. Now, this is certainly a plausible explanation and goes a long way to explaining why little or no wreckage of ships lost in the area has ever been found. How about another popular explanation, and one that seems entirely possible, is that these disappearances are down to nothing more than the weather. Now, it is true to say that the weather in the Triangle is quite volatile. Hot air travelling east along the Gulf Stream from the Gulf of Mexico and hitting the cooler air travelling down from the North Atlantic can produce freakish and violent weather conditions, localised hurricanes and inclement weather, with violent storms. Aircraft have reported seeing and travelling through clouds that seemingly appeared without warning, and travelling through these clouds led to disorientation and equipment malfunctions. Now, a byproduct of these hurricanes is something that's called a microburst. And this is where there is a sudden and violent downdraft in the hurricane's rotation, causing air to be sucked down from a great height. The air, when it reaches the surface of the water, can reach speeds of up to 170 miles an hour plus, a speed at which it is more than capable of flipping over a ship, and also causing aircraft caught in this microburst to stall and nosedive, with no way of correcting their attitude and little chance of escape. How about these as possible explanations? Aliens and a rip in the space-time continuum. Now, due to the number of unexplained disappearances and the fact that no wreckage of lost ships or aircraft are found, it has lent itself to become almost the holy grail of alien abduction theories. The Triangle, for those believing that aliens are involved, cite that the area is one that aliens use to abduct humans in order to study them. The aliens take the humans away, aboard whichever aircraft or ship they are travelling in order to study them. Then there are those that say that the area of the Triangle is a rip in the space-time continuum, a wormhole if you like, where people travelling through it are transported to another dimension and place in time. No evidence of wormholes has been found in the area, but it does not stop those believing in this theory to be put off. And finally, how about this as the ultimate in theories? The disappearances of ships and aircraft are due to the fact that the fabled city of Atlantis lies submerged under the ocean floor in the heart of the Triangle, and due to its presence, causes an electromagnetic variance in the region, leaving ships and aircraft vulnerable. Now, many people throughout history have cited that there once was a great and technologically advanced race of people who inhabited an island in the North Atlantic. And there are still a great many people who state that this civilization is alive and flourishing. So, which of these theories do you lean towards? The simple answer is that we do not know what has and does cause ships and aircraft to disappear whilst travelling through the Triangle. It should be noted, however, that hundreds of aircraft and ships travel through the area of the Bermuda Triangle every single day and suffer no mishap or malfunction whatsoever. So, that's the Bermuda Triangle, folks. What do you think? I would really like to hear your points of view or theories. So why not send me an email to the address of thespiritlevel22@gmail.com or leave a voicemail message by clicking on the SpeakPipe link in the episode notes. It is free to use and no download is required. In the next episode of Mr. M's Menagerie, I will be taking a look at the Philadelphia experiment. So until then, thank you for listening. And it's back to Mel for the rest of the show.
Welcome to this week's Household Hocus Pocus. Yes, this week we are back in the garden and we're going to have a look at the poor maligned nettle. And yes, I do mean the stinging kind. The use of nettles in magical ways goes back as far as the 10th century, and they were widely used for protection against, of all things, being hit by lightning, poisoning, and for removing curses and hexes, sending the negative energy back straight to the sender. Used in amulets and medicine bags, nettles can ward off evil spirits and allay fears of ghosts. Medicinally, it's been used as a natural anaesthetic and particularly to deal with the pain of rheumatism. Personally, I think that's probably more of a peripatetic value, with the sting taking the mind off the other pain. But hey, if it works and you're in great pain, why not? You can eat nettles in the same way as seaweed, and it has lots and lots of natural goodness, vitamins and minerals, including vitamin A, calcium and iron. Use it in teas, soups and stews. Eat and be protected all at the same time. Bon appetit. That's all for this week's Household Hocus Pocus. Welcome to Time for Tarot, and this week we're going to talk about the knights. Now, the knights are always depicted as being on horseback, and that's quite important because when the knights show up, it tends to indicate that things are going to move, and they're going to move quite quickly. They're also messengers, so with regards to the knights, it will depend on which suit they are as to what that message will be about or the arena that the message will be related to. So let's have a look at the Knight of Wands. The Knight of Wands indicates energy, passion, lust, action, adventure. He has an impulsive nature. And the knights can be male or female and generally up to about 21 years of age. But it can also mean that there is a lack of motivation here and needs a bit of a wake-up call to action. So depending on where it is on the spread and what's before it and what's after it, that's what it can indicate. And reversed, it means that there is too much haste and there's a scattered energy, and delays and frustrations are probably going to happen around the area that the reading is centred. So the Knight of Cups, he's the knight in shining armour that we hear about in the romance novels. So we're talking about romance, charm, imagination. This is a teenager or a person up to the age of 21. Lots of love to give. And in reverse, they can be a little bit unrealistic, jealous, moody, and all is not as it seems. So can be a little bit of a warning that not everything's happening that seems to be happening if the Knight of Cups turns up. So the Knight of Swords is opinionated, hasty and action orientated, but he's also communicative, so it can be male or female, up to 21 again. The Knight of Swords knows where they're going and what they want. They're confident and they don't generally have any regard for others, so they will do what they're going to do regardless of what other people say. So in a reverse position, it's scattered thoughts and a disregard for consequences. Finally, we have the Knight of Pentacles. When the Knight of Pentacles turns up, this means that a methodical approach is required. So the Knight of Pentacles is efficient, conservative, again male or female, up to 21 years of age, who's very good with finances and is quite a high achiever. So when they turn up, that's the message that tends to be coming, that you need to adopt that approach and be more efficient, but they are generally very good at what they do. So that's the Knights, guys. Next week, we will be looking at the Pages. Well, that's it for this week, folks. Coming up in the show next week, Coppernite is the featured crystal in Crystal Corner. There will be some more of your listeners' questions, and if you would like your question to feature as a three-card tarot reading with me, then please get in touch with us. In Mr. M's Menagerie, the Philadelphia experiment is the topic being discussed. In Household Hocus Pocus, Nutmeg is on the menu. And in Time for Tarot, the Pages are our featured card. Big thank you to Buzzsprout for hosting us. Our thanks to the folks at Allphonics and Audacity for their technical help. A big thank you to my beloved husband and producer, Mr. M, for his help and support. And a massive thank you to you, our listeners, wherever you may be, for your continued support and your lovely messages. Please subscribe and review our podcast. Your feedback will help us improve the show. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Castbox, or via your usual podcast provider. Please visit the website www.thespiritlevel.co.uk, where you can book a personal reading with me wherever you are in the world, enrol on one of the courses, browse the online store for the crystals we talk about, crystal packs, power bracelets, aromatherapy and scented candles, or just get in touch. We always love to hear from you. And don't forget, you can also send us a voicemail by clicking on the Speak Pipe link on the episode notes or via the podcast page on the website. It's free of charge, no download required at all. So until next time, folks, look after each other and love and light to you all.